in the room. Gentlemen. Well, while they're gathering themselves, I have some news that I need to share, and if I could have your attention, please. It is with great sadness that we have learned of the passing of our dear friend, former board member and Senator Jenny Oropeza. Sorry. Jenny Oropeza was elected as the first Latina to the Long Beach City Council in 1994. She previously served on the Long Beach Unified School District Board of Education, winning election in 1988. As a Metro board member from 1996 through 2000, Jenny Oropeza represented southeast cities of Los Angeles County and served on MTA's planning and programming and construction committees. While with the MTA, she also chaired the Goods Movement Committee of the Southern California Association of Governments. Oropeza began her legislative career in the Assembly in 2000. In January 2002, Assembly Member Oropeza was named Chair of the Assembly Budget Committee. From 2004 to 2006, Oropeza chaired the Assembly Transportation Committee. Senator Oropeza dedicated her life to public service. She fought tirelessly for her constituents and championed many issues from transportation to public health. She was a strong, brave, and forceful advocate, and we will miss her dearly. Thank you for your attention. And I'm going to ask, this is both of my colleagues that are here today served with her in the Assembly, so if you'd care to make any remarks, I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah, really. Okay. Yeah, I think you did a great job.
Okay. Thank you. We will begin by taking roll.
Director Thomas?
Here.
Director
Katz?
Here.
Here.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is to receive the Measure R program update.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Because of the very busy agenda we have today, and also follow-up meetings, I will be very brief with my presentation. We have all the staff here if you have any specific question to answer. Can we get this going? Okay. We are going to briefly go through certain progress that we have made since the past meeting that we had. A number of issues are that we are going to address today, the oversight committee, where we are, the amount of communication materials that we have generated and sharing with the public financial report, and a brief update on the highway and rail projects, and then the PMIS status. Where we are with the oversight committee, the panel selection process is underway, and we have listed all the outside organizations that the panel is contacting for recommendations as to who should be on the advisory panel. So based upon their selection, we will get back to the board with their selection and the procedure they are going to follow. Some of the materials that our communication department have done an excellent job of informing the public and all the interested contracting and consulting communities. So these are some of the examples of what has been accomplished in the past few months. More of this is on the Metro Orange Line in particular. And then we have the Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor. And then we have two things that we are sharing with the contracting and consulting community as to where we are with all of our project on the 3010 initiative. And then we also have a map which shows the location of those projects that we are talking about. The next one we have is the financial update. Perry is going to do a brief update on that. Perry?
Thank you. This slide represents a financial snapshot of the Measure R expenditures as of September 30. It shows the 8 sub-fund components of the ordinance As shown on line 9, expenditures are around 41% below budget. This is due mainly to lower than anticipated expenditures on our highway, rail, and Metrolink programs. This is only the first quarter, and it's really related to a timing difference. We anticipate the variance to decrease over the coming months as expenditure activity picks up. The next slide isolates on the 20% bus operating subfund of the ordinance. As shown on line 11, the annual budget for a bus operating subfund is $151 million, of which 70% is allocated to Metro and 30% allocated to the other operators. Since these are operating funds, the expenditures are in line with budget. The variance related to the muni operators is a timing issue and will eventually catch up by the end of the fiscal year. Line 13 shows the 3% subsidy to Metrolink. The intent is to use this money beginning in Q3 for positive train control. And line 14 shows the 15% local return allocation. Local return funds are allocated based on actual cash revenues received during the quarter, which were slightly higher than budget. Final reconciled sales tax revenue information for the period will not be released by the State Board of Equalization until mid-December. We intend to give the committee an update on Measure R revenues at that time. I thank the committee for their time, and that concludes the financial portion of today's program. Thank you.
If you don't have any questions, we can move to the next.
All right. I thank you for the report. It was very well done. We appreciate it. And thank you for your consideration in keeping it short. So.
Okay. We have a few more quick updates on the highway project status. This slide.
Wait, just a minute.
Mark, just one question for your team.
Yes, sir.
I just wonder, how are you guys coming in terms of being, I think this is great, and I appreciate the communications part of this in particular. In terms of the team, we had a huge milestone in 3010, Friday and yesterday, I guess, depending on how you look at it, in terms of the 546, I think is the number for Crenshaw from the feds. In terms of now actually pushing projects out the door like Crenshaw, are you ready to move on that? What's the situation? Because we believe that Crenshaw is the first of many that will come in that. And I just want to make sure that the project, the Measure R delivery team, is ready to go as soon as the feds show up.
Absolutely. We have developed schedules for all the rail project. Three projects in particular, the regional connector, Crenshaw, and Subway to Sea. We have identified all the milestones that we have to accomplish and to keep up with the schedule of the 3010 that you have published. And we are also bringing in the consultants on board to do the preliminary engineering on the regional connector as well as the Crenshaw. They're already on board. We are continuing with that. And we are working with our public-private partnership consultant at the very early stage to see where they can influence these projects, where they can potentially may become public-private partnership project.
So on the preliminary engineering, do we have to go RFP on that, or is that already done?
We have, for the regional connector and Crenshaw, we have them on board. Regional connector is going through the approval, but Crenshaw, we already have them on board.
Okay, so that work starts immediately?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. On the highway project, this is a slide just showing where the projects are located. And these are some of the updates on where we are with the various projects. I think the important ones are some of them on board authorized the SR 710 gap closure scoping process. Doug and his team are working on that. And we are also working on the hotspot studies on 605. 710 utility RFP is out. And then some of the sound wall packages, we are working with Caltrans. We will be advertising them early next year. Highway people are working for funding for those packages. And then we have the I-5 North capacity at the end of the slide. To Kern County, that's being worked on. Doug and his team are working on that one. The next is a list of all the rail projects. These are all the ones listed under 3010. This is a location map of all those projects. Construction has already started on the Metro Island Line. Expo LRT Phase 1 is under construction too. We are in final design on the Metro Gold Line Foothill Extension. And the construction authority there has issued the RFP for the $450 million extension of the line. And they awarded the contract on the I-210, the iconic bridge. We have preliminary engineering is on progress for Expo LRT. Under the environmental heading, we have many of the projects that are going through the final PE as well as environmental clearance, those being Crenshaw. Of course, we are all excited about the grant that got recently announced. Regional connector also, the PE is going to commence as soon as the award is done. And then the West Side Subway, we are coming to the board this month for the approval. As soon as that is done, we will commence PE on those two. On the East Side Transit Corridor Phase 2, we are currently doing the workshops and also talking to the public about their input into our documents. South Bay Metro, same thing is going on. We are doing the conceptual engineering and conducting public workshops. And Wilshire BRT, we held 4 public hearings, and we are in discussions with the city about how to get that project moving. These are some of the projects in the initial planning for the rail project, so it just listed there. If you have any specific question, I'd be happy to answer. If not, these are the project delivery in progress. This is the slide that we share with the public, consultants, and the contracting community so they can keep track of what's coming ahead with MTA. And the last slide I have is the project management PMIS status. We had come to you in the last board and given you an update on where we are with the development of the PMIS program. We are working pretty well on that. In fact, we are running ahead of schedule on that. In November, we are going to have the pilot P6 web posted. We are going to have the rollout, the change and cost control functionality in the construction management. And then we already started training the Orange Line staff how to use the system. This is one of the ones which is active as a part of the PMIS. This is a real-time information that we have available from this project, and this is exactly what we are going to have for all the project under 3010. So that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Thank you.
Public comment. First, I have Goldie Norton, and then Arnold Sachs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Last month, I asked that someone give us an idea of how the money earmarked for MTA operations from Measure R was being spent. To date, we have not heard a word. Our union was one of the major contributors to the campaign, and our members certainly and their families helped achieve the two-thirds vote in the balloting. So we feel that somebody in this agency gives us an answer as to how that money is being spent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I'll ask Mr. Leahy to respond to that.
We'll be pleased to follow up as to the expenditure of the funds that were allocated to transit. We'll do that today.
Thank you.
Yeah, transit operations.
The second slide that was presented today was in response to the request that was received last month. And the second slide?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. We'll get this out of the way first.
We did respond and we did present the slide. The second slide talked about the 20% bus operations fund that's allocated to bus operations and the munis. And what it showed was that we are allocating all of the 20% to Metro Bus and the munis. That's the slide that shows that. I'll meet with Goldie and go over it in detail.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs, will you come back? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Arnold Sachs. In regards to the communications, I happened to go to a meeting for the Regional Connector Transit Corridor Study. I picked up a copy of English. I picked up a copy of Korean by mistake. Please explain the communications in these, why there are totally different diagrams in these articles. This is totally different than the ones in English. That's a great way of communicating. Also, when the board granted the funding for the Foothill Extension, they granted the funding to the Blue Line Construction Authority. The gentleman mentioned that the RFP went out. The authority issued an RFP. Which authority? Because the Gold Line Construction Authority has been meeting. It's been scheduled for 2 months. The Blue Line Construction Authority still hasn't met. The advertising in the Daily News or the LA Times and the Downtown News state that the Gold Line Construction Authority got $640 million. You know that's a lie. Communicate to the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. That concludes the public input. And Mr. Murphy, again, thank you so much for the report. Very comprehensive. Item number two on the agenda.
Madam Chair, Directors, Alex Clifford, here to request your approval of a letter of no prejudice with Caltrans related to the Antelope Valley siting that you've previously approved, and we would like to enter into this letter of no prejudice to backstop the TCIF Prop 1B funds that have yet to go out to the public. We would expect those bonds to be floated to the public in either the late part of this year or the early part of next year, but we'd like to take advantage of a very favorable bid that Metrolink has received relative to the Antelope Valley siting project and make award of that project before those bids expired. So we request your approval.
Questions from I have some public comment, so I wanted Dr. Clyde Williams and Arnold Sachs.
Dr. Clyde Williams, 4115 Barrett Road, El Sereno, Northeast LA, also a member of the Stop the 710, Communities Against the 710, LA 32 Neighborhood Council, Sierra Club, Water Committee, and a few others. So when I say we, it's a royal we. Okay, yesterday we had a discussion with the Federal Transportation Administration and Highway Administration. There was a web error. And one of the things that it did point out was that rail contributes one half the greenhouse gases compared to trucks. So we would highly recommend, especially if you have a favorable bid, extend. Add more money to it, because now is the time to get the freight off of the highways and get it onto rails. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs?
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. Measure R funds being involved in the positive train control. That's a locomotive-based system. But Metrolink does a push-pull system. So if cars are in the front of the train being pushed by a locomotive, just exactly how will the positive train control affect something what's going to make the cars register something on the tracks? How will that affect the operation? What are you wasting your money on? Is this another situation like the gating that we have? How are you going to address that problem if it's a locomotive-based operation and you have a locomotive at the back of the train? How will that sense something obstructing the railroad tracks? Thank you again for your information.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
Well, you can clarify and tell me I'm wrong that it's not a locomotive-based system.
Anything you want to say? Okay.
I'm not wrong.
I have a motion to...
Go ahead. I just want to, Alex, as I understand on PTC, it doesn't matter where the locomotive is. You still can't, since it's a satellite-based system and a GPS-based system, right, you still have the information and the data about the speed of the train, the weight of the train, et cetera, and PTC will work push-pull or conventional.
That's my understanding of the same. Yes, sir. All GPS.
And a motion.
Motion. Do I have a second? I have a second. Any objections? So ordered. Next item on the agenda. Item number 3, Regional Connector Transit Corridor Project. Okay, let me give you this back. Michelle.
Morning, Directors. Martha Wellborn, Countywide Planning, here with Robin Blair of Countywide Planning, and we have construction guys behind us ready to answer questions. We have a brief presentation. We're trying to get up. Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
We have 3 recommendations that we are requesting action on today. You can go to the next. First of these is to accept the draft EIS, EIR for the regional connector. The second is to designate the LPA as the fully underground alternative, including the deletion of one station at 5th and Flower Streets. And the third item. Third item is a series of actions that will authorize the CEO to extend consultant contracts to complete the final EIS, EIR, and the public outreach, with a contract for Camtrust and McKee for the environmental work and the Robert Group for the outreach work. I'd like to give you a little bit of background just to refresh your memories. There were 5 alternative studies, and as you know, the regional connector is the missing link in the light rail system that would connect the gold to the blue lines. The first 2 were no-build and TSM alternatives, and then the 3, 4, and 5 were build alternatives with one, you can go to the next slide, one primarily at grade, some underground, and the next one primarily underground, some at grade, and the locally preferred alternative is the fully underground alternative. I'd like to just briefly summarize the technical reasons for recommending this alternative. The connector is really a system-wide connector, so it certainly serves the area that it's located in, but it serves many more areas than that, and as such, the trains are running at 2.5-minute headways, and so the volume of trains through this route is significant. And to keep the trains moving and to keep operations going as smoothly as possible, it's far preferred to grade separate the route. So we'll go on to the next. Some of the advantages of the regional connector: that it would carry 90,000 passengers a day. 17,000 of these are new transit riders. 20,000 would move from bus to the light rail system. It reduces travel time and cost to the riders. Significant increases in all the LRT system would result from constructing this piece. The cost effectiveness with 4 stations is, as you see there, $16.77. With 3 stations, it even improves down to $14.34. $25 is the mark that the FTA shoots for, so this performs exceedingly well. Okay. The various budgets have been confusing to some, so we've summarized them here in escalated dollars. Let me walk through those. I also have, yesterday a question came up about current dollars, 2009, so I can describe those to you as well. The LRTP, the approved budget for the project, is, as you can see, $1.073 billion. The Measure R expenditure plan, and $1.073 is escalated to 2019. Measure R expenditure plan carried a figure, as you see there, of $1.32. That was escalated to 2024. Current capital cost and what was submitted in the New START submittal to the FTA is $1.366. and those are also escalated dollars. The new starts typically would go for 50%, but this project actually scores so well that there have been discussions of going for a 60% match from the FTA. Actually, I'm going to wait and do I'll do today's dollars at the end when I get to the final slide on budget. Go to the next slide. The project is also carrying some system-wide improvements that are useful to the entire light rail system. You can see them here. That is carrying $150 million out of the $1.366 is for system-wide improvements. Okay. And here, again, you see the funding targets, and what I'd like to do is match those to 2009 dollars. So the LRTP at the top there, the 2009 figure for that is $936 million. For the FTA New Starts, this middle was $1.1 billion. And for the Measure R, it was $998 million. So
thank you for doing that, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome. Clearly, we are proposing at proceeding forward into PE, if you approve this, some intense value engineering to bring the project into budget and some alignment refinements as well. Go on to the next. The comment period was on the draft EIS, concluded on Monday. And in general, these were some of the concerns that we heard. I know there are people here to speak today. You'll hear additional concerns as well. There's strong support for the fully underground alternative. There are concerns, as we have on all projects, with construction impacts, also the impact on business loss and a desire for compensation. There are alignment refinements that are still encouraged, and interesting requests to identify stations by district rather than street name. And some want to keep in the Fifth and Flower station as well. I'm sure you'll hear that today. And the last slide. This is just a summary of the two public hearings were held recently, well attended, and the total number of comments received. So with that, I think we are, next steps, as I described, are to proceed with value engineering, come back to you with final EIS, EIR in the summer of 2011. I think with that, we're here to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any questions from the board? I have lots of comments, so I'm going to call three names and ask that you get prepared so that you're almost in line to speak, and that will make it move more expeditiously. First is Glenn Berryhill, then Wilson Liu, LIU, and then Dr. Clyde Williams.
Good morning, thank you. I'm Glenn Berryhill, Thomas Properties Vice President. Thomas Properties Group, TPG, owns and manages City National Plaza at 5th and Flower Streets in the financial district immediately adjacent to the Regional Connector project. TPG wishes to register support for the fully below-grade LRT alternative. However, the staff recommendation includes elimination of the station proposed immediately north of 5th Street, due to lack of funding. TPG requests that this station continue to be included in the final EIR and future studies so that the station option is not completely eliminated at this time. A station at this location is beneficial in providing an important and needed connection to the center of the financial district and adjacent to the central library. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And if I mispronounce your name, I apologize.
Good morning. I'm Wilson Liu, representing the Little Tokyo Business Improvement District. We are seeking a postponement on the decision today on both the draft EIR and the fully underground alternative. We feel that Metro staff has not adequately considered all the construction impact mitigations that will be affecting the Little Tokyo community. We have our own survey poll of 1,222 stakeholders, of which we are currently supporting a no-build alternative. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Dr. Clyde Williams, to be followed by Honorable Robert Philbosian.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. I actually helped
build Red Line Phase 1. And so I'm quite sensitive to the conditions that will be experienced by the people along the connector. There are construction methods that would minimize surface disturbance. I don't think they were included in the EIR. There are too many stations. They're too close. Where's the buses? The buses are usually used as feeders to the stations rather than having them so close. How about gas membranes? The Red Line Phase 1 is fully enclosed with a gas membrane. However, RTD at the time only allowed us to inspect 10% of the welds, and there's a problem there. Okay, also, going under buildings is no problem, at least for Red Line Phase 1. We went under a 14-story building when we did the turn from Pershing Square over to the 7th and Flower.
Thank you.
I'd highly recommend changing some of the things in the construction. Thank you.
Mr. Filibosian, to be followed by Joanne Grace.
Madam Chair, could we reverse the order and let Ms. Grace go first?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you haven't figured it out by now, my name is Joanne Grace. The draft EIR calls for the taking of buildings owned by my husband and me on Spring Street. Our business, Metropolitan News Company, publishes newspapers, and the draft proceeds on the notion that we are a restaurant. Restaurants can easily be moved. A newspaper publishing company with a 7-unit press in the basement cannot be. The draft EIR does not mention the significance of the building historically. The first one opened in 1896. A taking of our buildings under the true facts would not be appropriate, and we cannot await the final EIR next summer. With the cloud hanging over the buildings, it is impossible to rent vacant space, the income of which is essential to the maintenance of our newspaper operations. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Filibosian, to be followed by Patty Berman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Directors Robert Filibosian representing Joanne and Roger Grace and their newspaper, the Metropolitan News Enterprise, which is located 200 to 218 South Spring Street. Incorporating all of the things that Ms. Grace said about their property, I am going to respectfully ask that this committee take appropriate action today to exclude the property at 200 to 218 South Spring Street from the list of alternative sites. If you look at the map of the area, which we've submitted to staff on three prior occasions, there are two vacant government-owned sites nearby, a federal site and a state site. There are also many parking lots. It would not be economic for MTA to expend its precious taxpayer funds and other funds to purchase and tear down a going business with other businesses in the location, especially a historic building, when there are vacant properties, government-owned, and parking lots available. So respectfully ask the committee take action today to remove this property. Thank you.
Patty Berman, to be followed by Russell Brown.
Thank you. My name's Patty Berman. I am the president of the Downtown Los Angeles Neighborhood Council. DLANC has, for the last 3 years, been holding quite a few sessions and meetings on this subject. We feel that we've gotten a pretty good idea of what it is that the constituency is looking for. We are, of course, and we have mentioned this before, very much in favor of the and totally underground, because we feel that this is the only way that traffic can be mitigated. We are very much in favor of the entire project, feel that it's very important. But if you want people to use the alternative transportation and get out of their cars, we have to make it convenient for them. And for that reason, because people are going to be wanting to go to the streetcar, go into the Broadway area, go into the Old Bank District, we ask that you don't remove the 5th and Flower yet from the EIR. If it becomes financially unfeasible later, that can be brought up at that time. But for this time, please leave it in. Let's see what happens in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brown, to be followed by Sarah Jones.
Madam Chair, can I just make a comment on the last
yes.
point? At the committee meeting yesterday, there was discussion about would there be an interest in the private sector in making an investment to offset the cost? And we will, before the board meeting, we will make some outreach to that point
Thank
to
you.
See whether there's any possibility.
Great. Russell Brown, Executive Director of the Historic Downtown Business Improvement District. I'm also been very involved with the Neighborhood Council, previous president, and also on the Neighborhood Council's Planning Committee and Transportation Committee, and also the Bring Back Broadway Streetcar. We're very much in support of the regional connector, fully underground, with four stations. There's been almost 3 years of community outreach. It's been very difficult, especially on the Little Tokyo part of it, but we're glad that we've reached almost unanimous consent, including the fully underground station at the Office Depot. We also very much support the Second and Broadway station, because this will connect not only with the streetcar, but also the Civic Center and the Grand Avenue Park, the Old Bank District, Gallery Row, and the theaters in historic downtown. The Fifth and Flower station is very important, both for the future connectivity. We're not just building this for this decade, but we're building it for 50 years from now. So the libraries, the high rises, the streetcar, and City West, this will be the closest connection for them. So please keep that in, and then work on additional funding. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah Jones, to be followed by Hiroshi Yamauchi. I hope that's correct.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Jones, and I'm representing many of the residents of the historic core of the downtown Los Angeles. And we are hoping that you will consider keeping open the 5th and Flower Street subway connector. It provides some of the only access lines between the historic core and the current City of West. It also, there's the Central Library, and direct access to LA Live and the Staples Center from the historic downtown. And we hope that you will consider keeping it open for next time.
Thank you. Mr. Yamauchi, to be followed by Kenji Suzuki.
Hi, good morning. My name is Hiroshi Yamauchi. I'm an owner of a Japanese restaurant on 2nd Street in Little Tokyo, and I'm a member of our Little Tokyo Business Association. We, the business owner group of Little Tokyo, would like to express the objection against the plan of a fully underground of a 2nd Street, because we will be suffered too much. So it is our earnest petition to ask you to revisit fully underground once again, and to review other plan and other route, and avoiding a route of a 2nd Street. Why the 2nd Street? The 2nd Street, the busiest street in Little Tokyo. So that's why too much suffered. The priest reviewed another way, that like share the red line. It's already a red line is there, the same area. So I think that we don't need another the subway. So then it's all the priest. Please save the cost and the compensation for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Suzuki, to be followed by Kimberly Richards.
Good morning. Kenji Suzuki, business owner, Little Tokyo. Little Tokyo, for a lack of a better term, is an endangered species. We are one of only three remaining Japanese towns left in the mainland United States. The MTA knows this, and they told us that they would do everything they can to help protect Little Tokyo. I am here to tell you that the exact opposite will happen if you continue your current route. Little Tokyo is a small in area, and construction of this magnitude will have devastating effects on the very soul of Little Tokyo, which are the many shops that line along its streets. Many of these stores are decades old, and some have even passed the century mark. The MTA's current idea of cut and cover along several areas of Little Tokyo would be a burden that some of us would not be able to survive. And if the actual digging phase were to start in Little Tokyo, the hole being dug will surely be the grave for many of the businesses in the area. Little Tokyo is worth saving. So if the MTA is serious about saving Little Tokyo, please consider all options necessary in order to save its businesses. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Kimberly Richards, to be followed by Tracy Shavira.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Directors. Kimberly Richards, Public and Legislative Affairs Director, Southern California Transit Advocates. We support the staff recommendations that are contained within the draft EIR, including the removal of 5th and Flower Station. Our recollection is that at 7th Street Metro Center, there are knockout panels that could be extended for portals to the north. And we believe a mitigation could be made by adding portals to 7th Street Metro Center north of Wilshire Boulevard. This would be a win-win situation for all concerned, and we think that should be explored in the final EIR. We also count us among those who support the idea of the station names being by districts. Downtown is known by its district names, and this would actually be more geographically correct than would the current use in the EIR of the intersections. And finally, we believe that Metro will take all the proper mitigation efforts and all the community involvement efforts that have been called for by various members of the public, and I think perhaps maybe much ado has been made of that unnecessarily. Thank you.
Tracy Chavira, to be followed by Chris Afatesian, I believe.
Good morning. Tracy Chavira, Central City Association. I'd like to begin by saying that we do support the fully underground alternative, but I'm going to focus my comments on the 5th and Flower Station. We've heard mixed messages, and I think we just need clarification on what the repercussions would be if we leave the 5th and Flower Station in the draft EIR. While we don't want to jeopardize the entire project, we don't want to be short-sighted. After all, the financial district has over 90 million square feet of commercial space and over 1,500 residential units. And the city's community plan shows that the area is planned for more density. So if we could get clarification on the repercussions of leaving the 5th and Flower Station in the project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Avetisian, to be followed by Bill Watanabe.
Chris Avetisian, CFO of the Los Angeles Times. We see the benefits of the project. We kind of echo the words of the Metropolitan News, the recommendations. The station in Broadway and 2nd can easily be moved one block east or one block west. There's vacant lots. They're government-owned. It wouldn't impact private business. There's three areas that it would impact the Los Angeles Times directly. Number one is employee access, parking, and the building. We're talking 1,500 employees. Number two, we're talking about revenue, parking revenue at the lot across the street, filming support revenue. In the newspaper business, it's difficult to get ancillary revenues to support the news gathering and operations. That would strip us of those revenues. Number three, underground storage tanks supplying emergency power to the Times. We think the EIS, EIR missed this. And so we recommend, please, that you look at an alternative for the Broadway 2nd station.
Thank you. Bill Watanabe, be followed by Bobby Garza.
Bill Watanabe, I'm the current president of the Little Tokyo Community Council, along with Kristen Fukushima. The Little Tokyo Community Council is made up of about 90 community organizations and groups that represent Little Tokyo residents, businesses, nonprofits, and churches. We've sent a letter in support of the fully underground alternative as the locally preferred alternative. But we would like to add additionally some concerns that the boring underground on 2nd Street be done from from the west to the east. We feel that that would be a much less impactful alternative in terms of the boring underground. And secondly, that the concerns of the small businesses in Little Tokyo, as was mentioned, some of these businesses have been in continuous operation for over 100 years, be carefully considered and mitigations be provided so that they can continue to stay in business and Little Tokyo continue to thrive as an economic and ethnic neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bobby Garza, to be followed by Brady Westlater.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, sir.
The previous speaker, I'm unclear as to whether...
Your mic is not on.
Did we look at the vacant property?
Just seek clarification of the previous speaker as to whether or not the remarks are to be construed as in support of the action or if there are questions being raised about it or opposition being stated to it.
Supervisor, I missed the first part of your question. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm simply asking, are you for or against the item as it has been presented and as it relates to Little Tokyo?
We are for.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Bobby Garza. I'm a resident of Little Tokyo. I live at the Savoy, which is on 1st and Alameda Street. will be directly impacted by this. But I first want to say that I fully support the fully underground option as a rail rider. I'm very excited about this project. But I am very concerned about the community, about Little Tokyo. In particular, I'm really worried about the underground emphasis, the one that's partially underground, and that would drop Alameda Street, you know, forming kind of like a moat between the Arts District and Little Tokyo, the Arts District. And there's a lot of residents there and a lot more coming up soon. There's a lot of new buildings and new lofts coming up, and you're pretty much going to divide that community with Little Tokyo.
I've just been told I don't think we're considering that anymore. So
okay, I thought that was underground emphasis, and that was part of the five options I saw up there. So good, and I'm against the no build as well. But the fully underground is what we support, and you're going to find a lot of support, community support with that option. I think if you with these other options, you're going to have little problems.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Westlater, to be followed by Dwayne Weissenhaus.
Brady Westwater, a member of many downtown community groups mentioned. I'm speaking slightly for myself. I support the underground option. I also support keeping Fifth and Flower in the EIR and not making a final decision until all options are looked at, both in financing and in scheduling of the trains. But I also like to add that if Fifth and Flower is dropped, at the scoping meetings, we came up with some ideas of better connecting the financial district ground with the top of Bunker Hill's financial district. One of the options we discussed was having the elevator that was going to be at the station not just stop at the street, but also go up to the plaza at the top of Bunker Hill, better connecting these communities and making better usage of the transit system. So I would like to ask that you, if you do drop Fifth and Flower, do you look at either that option or other options to better connect the top and the bottom of Bunker Hill to make the subway more accessible? Thank you.
Great, thank you. Mr. Wiesenhaus, is that correct?
Wiesenhaus. Yeah, Dwayne Wiesenhaus, Wiesenhaus Architecture, View Heights, Los Angeles. I'm going to make a very strong, I'm strongly opposed to the fully underground option, and I just made this decision the last 24 hours. And the reason why is because my understanding is that the added cost that it does for the improvements on Alameda and First to take the existing Tokyo station, put that underground, impacts the overall cost of the project. And if we can only afford three stations, it makes no sense that one of those three stations is an existing station that we're now putting underground and then losing the very strong connectivity that we need for the central business district where it gets the most use. And right now, what you're suggesting is that in the CBD, we're going to be 100 feet apart with a 92-foot grade differential that doesn't fit into good transportation planning, and we're harming the system just for cosmetic reasons on one single intersection. So that's why I'm opposed.
Thank you. Yukio Kawatani, is that correct? To be followed by Gerard Wright.
Yukio Kawaratani, I'm a former downtown redevelopment planner. The draft SEIR conclusively shows that the all-underground alternative is the locally preferred alternative and is supported by the community. The regional connector is a highly valuable project for the access and mobility of not only downtown but of the region. I urge you to proceed.
Thank you. Gerard Wright, to be followed by Greg Fisher.
Okay, make sure this mic is working. Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you for addressing, and let me speak to the directors. I'm in full support of the alternative staff recommendation. I would like to keep the Fifth and Flower Street open, at least the option for the station design open, as to allow for various options such as combining the, you know, that particular location with the Bunker Hill as a possible superstation, or as Kimberly Richard just mentioned, utilizing the possible knockout panels north of 7th and Flower to enable better access within the financial district, just to leave those options open so you can keep that in mind, keep that studied. Also recommend to close the funding gap to look at using Prop A and Prop C for the non-subway options, such as the pedestrian bridge at Bunker Hill, certain street improvements that will need to be made in conjunction with building this project, and also looking at a 60% match. This is one of the few projects in the Los Angeles region that has a very high cost effectiveness rating. We better take advantage of it. Thank you very much.
Mr. Fisher, to be followed by Dr. Clyde Williams.
Good morning. Greg Fisher representing Los Angeles City Councilwoman Jan Perry. Councilwoman submitted a letter to the board last week, supports the project as a fully underground alternative, or alternative number 5. Her concern, such as it is for the Little Tokyo community. The underground alternative that uses Second Street with a cut and cover mode of construction appears as though it could gut the community, and the community may not be able to withstand the benefit that is implied in the construction of the project. So long as that is kept in mind by the committee and the board, the councilwoman again reiterates her support for the project.
Dr. Williams, to be followed by Arnold Sachs. Dr. Williams is passing. Good. Mr. Sachs? Thank you, Dr. Williams.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. What would really be interesting is to find out these alternatives, how they reflect on the original blue line that was supposed to be built from Long Beach up through Pasadena. The missing link created by Metro. Now Metro will fill it. When you mentioned, when your obituary of the late Jenny Arapoza, she was on the Planning and Program Committee for Metro when the Blue Line Construction Authority was considered, right? So did anybody say, hey, what about this gap in the 90s? Now it's $1 billion+. What was the cost in reference to the Red Line Phase 1, which actually would have gone from 7th and Figueroa westbound? You've leveraged everything. You leveraged that for not my backyard. Now you have a new population in downtown that wants to voice concerns over a project that should have been operating in 1992. A fine job by fine leadership.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. I have a question, if I may. There's been discussion about, is it the Metro building?
Metropolitan News.
Metropolitan building. Did you look at vacant sites when you did that? Do we need to go back and revisit it?
Madam Chair, that's my concern as well, and I wonder what our policy is that governs this, and it should it not be a generic one that essentially seeks to look at vacant lots rather than those that are being currently utilized, that is, built out and enterprises in play. What would be the rationale for not taking advantage of vacant parcels rather than those that are occupied?
When we start this process, and I want to be very cautious about not being overly bureaucratic in responding to your question, but when we started the process, we are dealing with other projects that were...
My question would be, what is our policy, Madam Chair? Do we have a policy that governs it?
Our policy would be the most cost-effective, most reasonable alternative. If we could find vacant parcels at the time we began, we would have taken vacant parcels and identified them first. One of the vacant parcels is actually the federal courthouse. They had gone through the process of demolishing the block and were in the process of funding to construction. They are now held up, which means the parcel may very well be available. And there are other discussions that are potentially taking place where that parcel may be traded with other city properties. As we started the process, we expected them to continue with their federal building. We will and are considering how we might be able to use that parcel. But the environmental process requires us to carefully go through all options. We're really looking at more property than we need because of the potential of just what I've mentioned. They may or may not be available. There may or may not be other conditions which impact us. So the answer is we still have, we believe, more property under review than we will actually end up with. But we do have a process which we have to go through, and an integrity of that process is required, that we consider all options. As we eliminate one, we're glad to do that. As we eliminate one, then we can begin to refine down to the other parcels that would be available and usable.
That answer your question?
Not completely, although you could say it was an exhaustive response. I'm simply trying to drive down to the bottom line of why we would not aggressively avoid taking property where there is an existing enterprise over against a vacant property should it be within reach. Now, if you are saying to me that is not a decision that has been made, but it is essentially pursuant to a due diligence process imposed by the EIS, then the concerns that have been raised by those who are directly affected might be assuaged. But if you are suggesting that there is a likelihood that the properties that are currently occupied would be, for the lack of a better characterization, fair game, and vacant parcels would not then be touched, then I find that problematic, if not completely unacceptable. Irrespective of who the property owners are or anything of that sort, I'm trying to speak at the level of policy alone.
In responding, due diligence is required, and as I mentioned, we have looked at property larger than our ultimate take, because this document has to survive for roughly 10 years, and that presumes a 2019 construction. So if we had failed to look at properties that may be appropriate over the length of the construction period, we may have no option to solve a problem between now and the next 10 years. We don't know the schedule of the federal courthouse. We believe today that they are stalled and potentially could be stalled long enough to allow us to use portions or at least have that as part of the conversation. But not knowing that as we go through the process, we have to, in use the term in due diligence, we have to look at every reasonable option before we come to a final conclusion for land takes.
Then am I to understand that those who are raising the concerns, and you heard them as well as I, as well as the entirety of the board and staff, heard them. Is their concern overstated, unwarranted, or has there been anything to allay the points that they are making with a reasonable degree of concern, so as not to compromise the integrity of the EIS in terms of the processes that you must undertake? But it is a concern when people raise those issues. Are they baseless?
I don't think that they are baseless. I can say with a clear conscience that I do not believe their property will be one that we will identify as we conclude the process. But to have integrity in the process, I must do the due diligence to come to that conclusion fairly and completely without bias or influence, and that's where we are today. If this board says that that is the preference or even the action of the board to say we under no circumstances will take this property, we will respond to that accordingly. But short of that event, we will do what is reasonable to evaluate and conclude what is necessary to construct this project.
I appreciate that. Madam Chair, if I may, perhaps it should be stated that the economic context in which we find ourselves makes it material for property owners and the like to have a reasonable degree of certainty as to whether they can lease that property for purposes of viability. When this particular issue is, or any other such issue, is hanging over their head, obviously that becomes a huge question. And I believe it is reasonable to remove such if, in fact, it doesn't compromise our options to build what we seek to build in a responsible, cost-effective, and prudent manner. That seems to me to be the issue in play. And I want to stop short of digging in too much detail here. But in an overall sense, it seems to me that we ought to be guided by the particulars, but not only the particulars, but the context in which we find ourselves economically. That can't be ignored.
Thank you. I do have a question I'd like as a follow-up. And you mentioned the federal property. Is that the only piece of property around there, or is there other vacant property as well? And I don't want particulars. I just yes or no.
Well, there are the properties, and you heard from the LA Times. That's one of the parcels also being reviewed. They're under the kind of the same kind of consideration, which is what impacts do I have long term? What happens to us as the LA Times? But we have this issue at in every parcel that we look at.
Absolutely.
And we are certainly trying to be as flexible as we can and as creative as we can to use parcels appropriately. So we're not trying to lock it in. That's why we unfortunately have to study more parcels than we actually will ultimately need, because there are both objections and practical reasons for not being able to use a particular parcel.
I understand that, and let me restate, because maybe what I was looking for is, are there other vacant parcels besides the federal property? Vacant. And if you don't know, that's fine. That's just what I was...
You can tell the... Go ahead. It's the one that we're looking
for. The other question, Madam Chair, would be, is there some reason why a staff would be intimidated by the federal government?
The answer simply, sir, is yes.
Open confession is good for the soul, sir.
That's okay. I just ask you if there, and you don't need to respond at this point, but I would encourage you also to look at vacant property if you can, and lean in that direction, I guess, rather than putting somebody out of business. Kath, did you have... Like you're ready to say something.
I was just asking along the same lines, and I heard the discussion. And Robin, certainly nobody wants to prejudice or predetermine an outcome from the EIR process. That's nothing but fraught with peril at all levels. But how do you balance? I mean, if there is a business that is, you know, some businesses you can relocate, some businesses you can't. I'm not familiar with this business other than what we heard today. So I'm just sort of curious about how do we balance that when doing this. And I know you got to be comprehensive. We got to be careful, because if you do too much, you get sued. If you do too little, you get sued. And you know, we're trying to keep the projects moving forward. But how do we balance that in here? Use this building as an example.
Well, he's mentioned a very key issue to us. It is of concern. We are reviewing it. That there is no viable alternative for him based upon the limited permitting process. That will be a big consideration for us as we look at any possibility of a site. And I am trying to answer this both personally and professionally, which is I believe we have reasonable alternatives, but I cannot draw that conclusion until we have gone through the process. But that is a very, very important consideration to us for relocation. It may not be feasible to relocate them.
Right.
And so it becomes an astronomical cost or an unreasonable demand to get or fulfill that relocation. That would be the most obvious thing that he said so far. The historic integrity, we've had some questions and reviewed. Unfortunately, they took a couple of stories off of the building somewhere in the past. That diminishes our interest in it being as a historical structure. It doesn't mean it doesn't have historic significance, but it is an issue that we would have less concern with.
Well, I guess if they took stories off the building but didn't replace them, you still have 100% of the building still a historical building. It's just smaller than it used to be. Now, if the stories they took off had all the significant stuff on it, that's a different...
Earthquake drill.
Just listen, it's a drill for an earthquake.
Is to get under a device that can collapse on.
Practice, Jeff.
We've had this already inside, and I've had it with the Red Cross. And
drops, cover, and hold on. Yay!
If you're standing during a large earthquake, the ground might be sound. Take cover under something sturdy to protect yourself from objects being rolled across the room.
What are you all waiting for? Don't you know to follow instructions? You don't have to tell me but once, guy. I'm gone.
I will step over here for a moment.
I'm going down here for prayer and intercession.
Don't try moving until shaking is over. Now look around. What objects might fall or be thrown at you?
He's thrown at you?
Objects should be noted.
I always take cover if my objects have been thrown at me.
Can be secured in place as soon as possible. It's been 1 minute and the shaking is over.
Good.
But after a real earthquake, there will be aftershocks.
Yes, there will.
What can you do now, before the real earthquake, so that you can reduce your losses and recover as quickly as possible? Visit shakeout.org to learn more about how to prepare, protect, and recover. This concludes our earthquake drill. Thank you for participating in the Great California Shakeout, the largest earthquake drill in U.S. history.
Nicely done. We're all shook up, right? And I lost Ridley Thomas. Is he still here? You can uncover, sir.
Supervisor Duckton is taking a nap.
Apparently.
I had to take my iPad with me in case. In case it was my last email. I wanted to get it in.
Curled up on the floor with an iPad just raises so many questions. It's just...
Let me say, if I...
Seems like a lot of projection, that, Director Katz.
I think we all understand the due diligence. We know you need to do that. So having said that, we also think if there's a vacant parcel that...
But can I ask just, yeah, Robin, one thing that you were saying, that does it necessitate going through, if hypothetically you find out that they can't move it, or it's too expensive, or it's not practical for whatever reason, and having a little familiarity with printing presses, they're not something that you move very easily, I know that. Do they wait through for the entire process to play out before they get relief, or even after you've made those, or do you only make that decision at the end of the process? How does that work in terms of the issues?
We're guessing that the due diligence process is about 4 to 5 months from completion, that will basically identify the parcels accurately that we need. So, but we do think it's about a four to five month process.
But at the end of that process, then they'll know, for instance, but as opposed to...
We can publicly say this is our conclusion based upon the parcels.
All right.
Or at least our recommendation. So.
Got it. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you very much for explaining to us and bearing with us. And are there any other questions or comments from my colleagues? No? What is your pleasure?
Move it.
Seconded? Is there no objections? Move on to item number 4. This has been approved. And I'm going to do something a little different on item number 4. Director Ridley Thomas has indicated he's going to abstain. And Director Katz and I were fortunate enough to see the presentation yesterday. So unless things have changed drastically, I think it would be prudent just to go to public comment. Does that work for you? Okay. And on item number 4, we have one individual who wants to make public comment. That's Arnold Sachs.
Yes, thank you again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Not to take shots at you, Supervisor Thomas, because I really enjoy the way you speak, but you mentioned that responsible, cost-effective, and prudent manner and a policy for Metro regarding this project. That went over the cliff and out the window like the speed of light 20 years ago. So let's not forget that. This project should have been done as part of the continuation of the original Blue Line as it was proposed by then Mayor Bradley, going from Long Beach to Pasadena, the Red Line going from 7th and Figueroa, east and westbound. You've managed to forfeit probably over billions of dollars through this lack of leadership. Please explain a policy that creates a blue line construction authority and a gold line construction authority for one project.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
Please explain the metro policy there.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
Thank you for the explanation.
This item will be forwarded to the full board without recommendation from this committee. It has been forwarded from another committee as well. If there are no objections, that's what we will do. Next item on the agenda, item number six. No, I'm sorry. Item number five.
You know,
Madam
Chair, if I may, one of the issues of concern here, and I'm perfectly content to hold until the presentation is made, but have an opportunity to explore option or two here, and I do not wish to suggest that such would be the case in any way that vitiates the hard work that was done to advance the LRTP, but I think there are viable discussions afoot that staff is obliged to take seriously regarding the issues that have emanated out of West Hollywood. And I want to put that out there early enough so that we can kind of spend some time talking about that at the appropriate time. And I want to hear from the CEO and others who might have a view on that.
Okay.
Good. Hi, Weenie.
Hey, how are you? Hi, I'm Renee Berlin. I'm one of the executive officers in Countywide Planning. I have with me today Dave Meager, our deputy executive officer for the West Side Planning Team, who's also the project manager for this project, Dennis Morey, executive officer in construction, and Dr. Jeffrey Martin, our senior member of our Metro's Tunnel Advisory Committee. They will be briefly going over the recommendations that we have before you. Today we're going to be asking you to approve our draft environmental document, approve the locally preferred alternative with recommended options, as well as to approve options 2 and 3 with PB Americas to complete the final environmental document and preliminary engineering for the project, option number 2 with the Robert Group for community facilitation during the final environmental document, as well as to amend the FY11 budget to for funds to support the PE effort, $5 million. So with that, I will turn it over to Dave Meager, who will briefly go over our recommended LPA.
Thank you, Renee. This project is coming back to the board after about 18 months. January of 2009 was when we were directed to start the project. The west side is a 38-square-mile study area that extends from the current western extension of the Purple Line at Wilshire Western and Hollywood and Highland Station in Hollywood out to the ocean. We had 17 miles of alignment that we looked at along Wilshire Boulevard and Santa Monica Boulevard. We are now recommending that be narrowed down to the alternative 2, which is a single 9-mile extension of the Purple Line subway to the VA hospital near the 405 freeway in Westwood. The recommended LPA would have 7 stations, and the cost would be $5.15 billion, and that's in year of expenditure dollars, which for this project would be 2022 under 3010. In the event that funding for 3010 is not forthcoming, the LRTP calls for the project to be built in 3 phases, with the first segment to Fairfax in 2019, second to Century City in 2026, and the third to Westwood in 2036. Within that 9-mile proposed LPA, we had 6 options of station and alignments that we have spent a great deal of time and effort to come to a recommendation. At this time, we have firm recommendations on the first 3 of those options. Option 4, we've narrowed the number of alignments from 6 to 3 in our recommendation. And on options 5 and 6, we still need to keep options open for further study in the final. I'll just go through those 6 options briefly. The Crenshaw Station, this, of course, has been in our studies as an optional station for a long time. The recommendation is not to proceed with a station at Wilshire and Crenshaw. However, the important point to be made is that for a future connection to the Crenshaw line from the south, we feel that's a very important thing, and the studies that have been done have determined that a better location for that nexus with the future extension of the Crenshaw line would be farther west near La Brea or Fairfax or La Cienega. And that was a study done as a part of that project. This station location is low density. It's not planned to intensify around the station, and it hurts our cost effectiveness in this location. But again, we do believe that there is a better location for this intersection to occur further west. At the Fairfax station, we've had a lot of community requests to move the station a little bit farther to the east to be close to the County Art Museum and the county cultural complexes of museums there. We are recommending that. It moves a little bit closer to the gassy ground near the La Brea tar pits, but it's not that much closer, and we believe that we can mitigate those geotechnical concerns with a station that better serves the cultural institutions there. With option 3, the La Cienega station, the original preference was to put the station on the east side of La Cienega near the more commercial area, the higher density commercial buildings. We did receive a request from the city of West Hollywood and the supporters of the West Hollywood line to look at moving the station to the west side of La Cienega so that a future connection to West Hollywood could provide a transfer station there. That was not possible with the station on the east side. We did look at that. We're not recommending that at this time because we're not recommending proceeding with the West Hollywood line as a heavy rail. We believe that the West Hollywood line has better potential as another form that needs further study, such as light rail, and that further study should be undertaken for that line. And therefore, we also are not recommending a connection structure, which was located near Wilshire and Robertson, to provide for a potential connection. So the recommendation is to stay with the station on the east side of La Cienega, which is the city of Beverly Hills' preference. The stations in Century City, we have 2 locations, one which is on Santa Monica Boulevard and Avenue of the Stars, and one which is over on Constellation and Avenue of the Stars. We've had a lot of debate in the community. This is probably our single most discussed issue in the studies to date, and our recommendation is that we carry forward both these station locations in the final EIS because we need more engineering work to make a determination on this. The major issues are a seismic fault that's been determined to exist under Santa Monica Boulevard, which would affect the feasibility and the location of the station if it were on Santa Monica Boulevard, and concerns by the city of Beverly Hills on the alignment that would go to the Constellation station, which passes under Beverly Hills High School. And there was a large group from the high school in Southwest Beverly Hills that were here yesterday, expressed their concern about this. And so we believe there's more time that's needed to address these concerns before we can make a recommendation. This is the alignment between the Wilshire Rodeo Station in the heart of Beverly Hills to either the Constellation Station in Century City or the Santa Monica Boulevard Station. You can see the Santa Monica Boulevard Station is located directly above a portion of that fault that we need to better locate and better understand to see how that station could be designed and could be located along Santa Monica Boulevard in this area. And then we need to look further into the impacts of going under the high school, which is right about this location. We are recommending that the Constellation South alignment be eliminated and that the Constellation North be carried forward. Constellation South goes under more residential properties, 23 versus 4 on the Constellation North. It also goes under the Good Shepherd School. So we believe that the North is a viable alignment that we could recommend, and it reduces some of the concerns of the community by going under fewer properties and one less school. So we are recommending the North alignment be carried forward. Between Century City and Westwood, we looked at 3 different alignments, east, center, and west. The west alignment was looked at to see if we could go completely under city streets, Westwood Boulevard, Santa Monica Boulevard. and to reduce the number of homes we would go under. It actually wound up being a mile longer than the other two routes, which added a significant amount of cost to the project, added over 2 minutes to the runtime, and therefore we can't recommend the west alignment. Between the central and the east alignment was shorter, more direct, had lower cost, and actually went under fewer properties. And so therefore, for environmental cost and ridership information, we're recommending that the east alignment be selected as the locally preferred alternative in this area. The last two, option five in Westwood Village, we have two alignments, one that's directly under Wilshire Boulevard in this area, in the canyon area where the high-rises are, that would continue out and go to the VA hospital just west of the 405 freeway. The other alignment goes under Lynbrook and would have a station off-street on a UCLA parking lot, Lot 36. At this time, we don't have a recommendation between these two locations because there are some new development proposals in Westwood Village that could significantly increase the cost of this off-street station. And that being the case, we believe that further study is needed to determine if the on-street alignment, we can actually build that, do the cut and cover, the decking, and mitigate the traffic impacts adequately to make that an acceptable option to the off-street. So we need more work before we can make a recommendation in Westwood for that station. Finally, our last station at the VA hospital, we have proposed a station directly in front of the VA hospital in the parking lot, immediately next to the 405 freeway. That station, we believe, is doable and is part of our LPA. However, it's so close to the hospital that the VA has raised some concerns about maybe the construction impacts or the congestion that would occur around that station directly in front of their major hospital, and they've asked that we continue to look at a north station a little bit more carefully before a recommendation is made, so we intend to go forward and do that work over the next 6 to 7 months before we can make a firm recommendation at the VA. Finally, in downtown Los Angeles, we don't need a new rail and storage and maintenance yard for the heavy rail trains. This is our existing Red Line Yard, Division 20, which is about a half a mile from this building, about a mile from this building. We would be able to expand this facility to accommodate the rail cars that we need to operate the Red Line without needing a new rail storage and maintenance yard for the project. Just in terms of project costs, the recommended alternative two has a cost of about $4.358 billion in current year 2009 dollars. With the recommendation to delete the Crenshaw station, that would bring us back to 4.2, which is the dollar amount that's allocated for the project in the LRTP. Therefore, at this time, we are within budget with the LPA recommendation. And just for clarification, this $4.2 billion, if we build the 3010 project, is about $5.15 billion in year of expenditure dollars. The last few slides, we've completed our comment period this past Monday, 45-day comment period, had five public hearings, about 550 attendees, about 125 speakers.
Excuse me, just a minute.
Yes.
We had this presentation yesterday, so I'm going to ask that we bring it to a close and then do the public comment.
Fine. These were the last slides. I only had three slides, so I can stop at this point.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Ready for public comment? First individual is Patty. It looks like it's B.E. Venable. I'm sorry, I'm not pronouncing it right, but is Patty here? Ben Russell Brown. To be followed by Dr. Clyde Williams.
Russell Brown. I'm attended probably 20 community meetings over the last 3 or 4 years, and I want to thank the staff for really engaging the community. Everybody who's attended the meetings have been very, very supportive of mass transit. Actually, most people supported the full complement of number five, but we understand for fiscal constraint reasons that supporting number two is the proper way to go. There has been very, very extensive support, especially in West Hollywood, and it's nice to know that having lived in the Fairfax District 20 years ago when the subway never came through the Fairfax District and Hancock Park, that it's nice to get this back on track. Personally, I support the Constellation Station. I think you'll end up with a much better system because it's much more centrally located to the riders in Century City. The meetings that they've had at LACMA have been very enthusiastic about moving the Fairfax Station into the museum complex. And you're correct, there's not been consensus on Crenshaw, and I think
it makes sense to work towards an expo line connection later through either La Cienega or Fairfax up to Hollywood and Highland. Thanks.
Dr. Williams, followed by Kimberly Richards.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. For 2 years, I spent my life on Wilshire Boulevard and Fairfax gas monitoring. And we also did contributions to the design through the Wilshire Fairfax Liberia complex. I also monitored gas in the courtyard and also at Farmers Insurance. The whole area is quite gassy. However, we were going to do it, and it was only the RTD management at the time that did not know their project well enough that caused the relocation and the postponement. So you need a lot more gas monitoring along that whole section. Pressure balance shields can work quite well in that area. There's a lot of tar. There's a lot of gas. So we would like to have, might say, more exploration of the gas protection. Thank you.
Kimberly Richards to be followed by Dwayne Weissenhaus.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. Kimberly Richards, Public and Legislative Affairs Director, Southern California Transit Advocates. As the organization that actually did public outreach on this project before Metro began its process this time, we most obviously support this project. We support the draft EIR as written. We believe staff has found the correct items that need further study and are carrying them forward. That said, and with the knowledge that yesterday I listened to the committee meetings at home on my squawk box, I'd like to take a couple of seconds to talk about what happened during this public hearing yesterday at Planning and Programming. For whatever reason, the City of Beverly Hills, one of their elected officials, took it upon herself to lecture this board about how to be a public official. And I personally found that offensive. They don't have the right to tell you how to behave as directors of this agency. And I found their emotional arguments and rhetoric completely and totally without merit in the course of a public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Dwayne Weissenhaus, am I better this time?
Yes.
Thank you. To be Dwayne followed Weisenhaus, by Arnold Sachs.
Weissenhaus Architecture, View Heights. I want to reiterate the support and what I said yesterday in strong support of the Constellation Station for the reasons of just increasing ridership and making the system more effective. And I encourage Metro to continue in their studies to make sure that we mitigate whatever problems and issues we have in Beverly Hills to make sure that we have the best system we can for the City of Los Angeles. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Sachs, to be followed by Gerard Wright.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. How wonderful it is and how exciting to hear that Metro's budget for this project is like $4.5 billion or whatever it is. Because I seem to recall the budget for the Gold Line was, not the Gold Line, the Expo Line was $300 million. That budget went out the window faster than a bus. Now it's over 800, closing on 900, and still not complete for phase one. So it's exciting to hear that Metro's budget is set in concrete. Additionally, the City of LA had a project that they approved at the shopping plaza in Century City. And part of the project was that the builder was going to build something that would be able to be used as a station for this extension. Has that been considered? And I know I was at the City Council meeting when the item came before and they approved it. I don't remember all the total particulars, but there's some construction going on at the Century City Mall, and the developers included the caveat that they would build a station for the Red Line.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Gerard Wright to be followed by John Walsh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to recommend the staff proposal. I also want to make one good quick plug for Never Measure Art project that will tie into this particular subway right along the Westwood area, and that's the 405, or right now they call it Sepulveda, or excuse me, San Fernando Valley West Side Transit Corridor. I think that needs, that study needs to be looked at as soon as this draft EIR is over, to look at, you know, at least get an MIS going to see what will connect to this very vital project at Westwood, because you have over 300,000 vehicles passing through the pass every single day, and that is, you know, some, that's ripe for transit. It's ripe for what we're doing. So I would like to make that presentation to you all to push that forward as soon as we get finished with the draft EIR, because that connectivity is important to really improve the ridership and improve our overall network for within Los Angeles County. Thank you very much.
John Walsh.
John Walsh, addressing transportation boards regularly since 1981, 29 years, and 29 years ago, you know, you were talking about subway to the sea. Let me tell you, our most important, our best post in history, we started in February 2009, HollywoodHighlands.org, read it, and you'll learn who the next governor is going to be and what the next scandal is. But here, look, I want to thank and congratulate Mark Ridley Thomas. You got $500 million out of Obama's back pocket on a loan. And that puts Crenshaw ahead, the black community ahead of the white community. You're on top. You're fully funded. Now, Antonio didn't ask for you, number one. He asked Barack Obama for the white folks on the west side. And, you know, I listened on the radio to Jesse Jackson. And the other day he said on Sunday, why should we vote Democratic unless they give
Thank
us
you.
Something?
Thank you,
they
Mr.
just
Walsh.
Gave you a light rail.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Any comments from...
Startling presentation. Are we
ready? The gentleman has moved it. Moved the item.
Yeah, I do want to revisit the point that I made a bit earlier, which was what consideration has been given to the feasibility study regarding some of the concerns that have been raised in the communities surrounding West Hollywood. I mean, it's clear to me that the Crenshaw stop that had been long thought would be in place, and we know that we have a debate, a discussion, some point of contention around that, both pro and con. My question is, what level of creativity can be brought to bear that accommodates some of the outstanding issues? Is it not possible, and I'm going to ask this question for staff to come back with some feedback as to what feasibility might entail that looks at connecting some of the issues that have been raised in previous discussions, Hollywood through West Hollywood, past the Beverly Center, and that which is related to Cedars-Sinai. Are these discussions that are simply non-starters, or if, in fact, there is something of consequence that can be made of this as we can continue to try to think creatively and prudently about the use of our resources and building a regional, rational, and equitable transit center for L.A. County? Mr. Leahy, is it worth a conversation in terms of the pros and cons of a feasibility study and what the cost might be?
I believe it is worth the effort.
Well, Madam Chair, I would be interested in a report back on that from the CEO and her staff at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
I'm going to ask just very quickly. You know, a lot of this has to do with money.
Right.
And that particular portion is not in Measure R.
Right.
So I would like to know where the money would come from.
That's part of what should be...
That's part of your feasibility study?
Well, that's what has to be looked at. In addition to that, the cost of the feasibility study itself. So all of that is entailed.
Okay. So the request is that a feasibility study be initiated. And I guess I'm having a problem with saying we're going to do a feasibility study if we don't know where the money's coming from. So we, until we identify that, how can we do the study?
Well,
does that might not make sense? Or
let me,
yeah, it does make sense.
If we try to come back, we probably won't make, we might make the December meeting, the November meeting, which is early December, but it's not going to be a very detailed report.
Okay.
Maybe a list of issues
that
should be contemplated as part of a more profound examination.
Okay,
and
thank
that's
you.
Essentially the extent of what's being requested at this point, to engage the question in earnest.
So do we need a motion, or is that simple, that request is sufficient, correct?
The request is of staff.